You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we hear from the author of the new book, The Other Significant Others, Reimagining Life with Friendship at the Center. First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about being seen.
What's one of the best ways to combat hate? For Jesus Gregorio Smith of Appleton, it's to push back with love. He shares his story as part of the Home is Here project, which amplifies the voices of the growing number of Black, Asian, Native American, and Latino residents who call northeastern Wisconsin home.
I saw the sign up on Richmond Street in downtown Appleton, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was just a sign flashing the F word, the one that rhymes with maggots. It was displayed across a business sign so everyone driving down the road could see it like it was nothing. All I could think about was, how could this be possible? Those poor queer kids who already have a hard time with family, within themselves being gay or bi or trans, what happens when they see this sign spewing so much hate? I had to do something. I've experienced my fair share of hatred and bigotry throughout my life. I was born and raised in the little old town of El Paso, Texas. My father, Johnny Smith, is an African-American man who was born in the 1940s during legal segregation. While Dad was stationed at Fort Bliss, he traveled to Juarez, Mexico, with his fellow soldiers for drinks and fun nights. It's there he fell in love with my mother, Sonia Smith. Once they were married, they had 5 mixed-race children. I'm the youngest of the 5. I had the luxury and honor of having 2 cultural backgrounds and influences in my life. But that luxury also had costs. I recall the first time I was ever called the N-word, and it was by Mexican folks. And I thought to myself, don't we all have it bad enough? Why are we picking on each other? I'll never forget the time my mother gave me this serious talk in first grade because she was embarrassed with how feminine I was as a child. In fact, the first person to ever call me the F word was my mother. My father instilled a particular vision of Black masculinity that was meant to protect my brothers and I in the world. He stressed that I needed to get a good job in computers in order to be successful. As I got older, I hid my gayness and only pursued paths that would make my family proud, keep me hidden, and keep the comments about me to a minimum. But college didn't lead to a career in computers. Instead, I faced my fears and embraced my identity. I began empowering fellow members of the queer LGBTQIA community. Eventually, I got my PhD in sociology with a focus on race, sexuality, and masculinity. And that's what brought me to Wisconsin, a job at Appleton's Lawrence University as an assistant professor of ethnic studies. Which brings me back to that homophobic sign I saw in downtown Appleton. I didn't let the hate deter me. So when I decided to protest under the sign, I gated up even more to be exactly what the sign said I was. I put on a purple wig, a rainbow shirt, white high heels, and danced around to Born This Way by Lady Gaga. I filmed a silly video and took a photo. The photo went viral on social media. Not too long after, numerous Appleton residents showed up to fight against the hate, resulting in it coming down. I took that viral image, put it on a shirt, and sold it, and raised $15,000 for the Sexual Assault Crisis Center. That is how you turn that hate into love. Through the process of finding oneself, embracing oneself, living as one's authentic self, one can counter painful experiences and turn them into something different. I tried to hide myself from pain, but when I bravely faced it, I overcame it. It isn't easy, but I think we deserve to see a different world. Determining your own path, despite what others say, can help you break out of molds that confine you. I eventually embraced who I was and made a huge difference in people's lives, as well as my own.
Jesus Gregorio Smith is an associate professor of ethnic studies at Lawrence University. His story is part of the Home is Here project from the New News Lab, a local news collaboration in northeastern Wisconsin made of 6 media organizations, including WPR and the Green Bay Press Gazette. More information can be found at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
This is Central Time. Do you remember when you were a kid and maybe your best friend was the most important person in the world? Here's Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle in the show Pen 15 playing middle school versions of themselves, imagining what life would be like when they're grown up.
We share a dorm after school.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I cook you all of your lunches.
Oh, yeah. And I cook breakfast, dinners, and snacks.
Because you're the only one who knows how I like my onions to be cooked.
I knew you were going to say onion sautéed. Yeah, and we're going to have a double wedding.
Yeah. And then we'll probably get divorced at the same time.
Because they got in the way of us.
Yeah. And then we'll probably have kids like a couple years apart so that you can help me raise mine because I'm going to have issues with it.
And we can live on the same property, right?
Yeah. And then when you get sick, I'm going to take you to the doctor every day because it's a block away, okay?
Why don't friends grow up and live together? Maybe have a family together or take care of each other when they get older? Why isn't friendship at the center of life? Well, sometimes it is. Our next guest writes about friends who have chosen to live their lives together in ways that break a lot of the unspoken rules about American friendship, and in a way that runs up against the assumption that a romantic relationship should be the center of our lives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had or do you have a friendship like this that's as important to you, maybe more important than a romantic partnership? Have you felt a friendship get demoted when somebody has that romantic relationship? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Raina Cohen is producer and editor for the NPR podcast Embedded. She's the author of The Other Significant Others, Reimagining Life with Friendship at the Center. Raina, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for being here. And I love that clip at the top.
It was credit to the producer on that one. I didn't find it. Now, you've experienced friendships like this, and you kept finding people who had these intense friendships. And it seems like everybody felt kind of alone and odd ducks, but it's more common than we might think. Tell us of what you set off to find in this book.
I had personal experience in a friendship like this that felt like best friend didn't even cut it as a label, where my friend and I were really enmeshed in each other's lives in a way that wasn't so different from the romantic partnership I've been in concurrently. And I wanted to find other people who had this kind of friendship because I knew that we were not the only ones, and that there was something fundamentally challenged by these friendships in terms of the hierarchies of relationships, in terms of the emotions and the kind of commitment we're told we're only supposed to experience in romantic relationships, or you can only form families through romantic relationships. And I found people who are of all different ages and political persuasions and genders who have exactly this kind of friendship. And one of the remarkable things of those stories and what I've heard since the book has come out is everybody feels like they're isolated and nobody gets these friendships, and yet so many people have them.
And before we meet some of the people you profile in the book, a common theme again is that they have a hard time explaining it. We don't necessarily have the language for it. If we look to pop culture, the happy ending is always that romantic relationship. How did we downgrade this possibility of this intimate, passionate, productive friendship in favor of romantic relationships to such a huge degree?
It certainly was not always this way, that a romantic partner was supposed to be the be-all and end-all and be your everything. Just in the last 50 years, we've gone from thinking you were supposed to have love be the core part of your relationship and maybe companionship, to also reaching the highest heights of yourself and having a person help you, you know, figure out the best version of yourself and be your best friend, which doesn't obviously leave very much room for a best friend if your romantic partner is taking that role. If you look back even further, a couple hundred years ago, and we can go way, way back, the expectation was that a spouse was really providing a kind of practical role, that marriage would be merging families, would be more like an economic contract that was about the resources that two people and their families can exchange. So a lot of people found the most emotional intimacy in their friendships, which makes a lot of sense when, you know, the marriage wasn't expected to fill that role. And also there was such an inequality between men and women that it's kind of hard to have an egalitarian relationship like friendship, or an egalitarian relationship in a marriage, really, if you're not equals to one another. But you can find that equality more in friendship.
I want to meet a couple of the people you talk to. Andrew and his friend, Toli, couple of guys, they end up describing each other, I think, as a platonic life partners. Can you tell us a little bit about their story?
Yeah, they were a couple of the first people I talked to. They are now in their 30s, and they met when they were in high school and just became part of a friend group. Eventually, there were three of them who were really close, Andrew, Toli, and their friend David. And as they went off to college, David ended up dying by suicide, and Andrew and Toli were really there for each other during this massive period of grief and also trying to help David through all his mental health challenges up until then. And that, you know, was one thing that kind of cemented the friendship. But they have gone on to make major life decisions around one another. They have moved across, one has moved across the country for the other. They've oriented their careers so that they can be living and working in close proximity. They created a nonprofit together. And they've also run into issues with romantic partners because people don't understand how a friendship could be as significant as it is, and that the women that they've dated often hit a point where they don't feel comfortable not being absolutely the number one person in their life. So they, you know, at a time in their lives, in their, you know, 20s and 30s, when everyone around them was saying you should kind of build your life around a romantic relationship, they decided to do something different and often kind of ended up really confusing people and getting judgment from people and people wondering, was it actually a sexual relationship? They just couldn't compute that it was a friendship.
Raina Cohen is with us, author of the new book, The Other Significant Others, Reimagining Life with Friendship at the Center. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have that kind of special long-term friendship with someone that equals or exceeds maybe a romantic partnership in your life? Do you have questions for our guest about some of the things she found? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Listening to Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Raina Cohen about her new book, The Other Significant Others, Reimagining Life with Friendship at the Center. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What role have friends played in your life? Do you have that friend who's before all others? Maybe more important relationship than a spouse or significant other. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller. Nick is with us in Beloit. Nick, hi.
Hey, I had a bit of a question about this. So I know a lot of people spend time at work, and in the recent years, people have been talking a lot about the idea of a work wife or work husband. Is this kind of the same thing, or is it just a shade of what you're discussing here?
Nick, thanks for the call. I think people may mean different levels, Raina, of a commitment when it comes to that work wife or work husband, but that idea of someone else in life providing emotional connection in addition to what someone might get in, say, a marriage or other significant relationship, I don't know. It seems like it parallels at least some of what you write about.
And there's definitely overlap. I think one example of somebody who would have been maybe like work husbands to each other are Andrew and Toli, who I described in many ways, are like work husbands to one another. They worked in the same physics lab for a while. They are doing the same, you know, working in the same place right now. They started a nonprofit, as I mentioned. So, I think what takes this to a slightly different level might be that it's not just in a workplace setting that these people have these really close bonds, but that they're also you know, making decisions to live with or near each other, to maybe raise kids together, to look toward a shared future is really the way that I would define the sorts of friendships or platonic partnerships, as I call them in the book. But I think anybody who's experienced a platonic relationship of real intensity can relate to the way that these friends connect with one another.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Another pair that you write about, Barb and Inez, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that name wrong.
Yeah.
Inez, yeah. They end up later in life moving in together. Can you tell us a little bit about their story?
Yeah, I love the two of them. So I met them the house that they share in the suburbs of St. Louis, and they've been best friends for 50 years, and they supported each other in all sorts of ways, including when Inez got divorced from her husband, and she has two children, and Barb is very involved in taking care of the kids. And when the two of them were on the cusp of retirement, Barb wanted to move back to St. Louis from where they'd been living in Arizona. And Inez decided to follow, and they wanted to buy their own homes that were maybe next door or really close proximity, but they couldn't afford it. And what they eventually decided to do was to buy a home together. And now they, you know, are roommates or housemates, and they have been for 25 years. And it has been a great source of companionship and comfort and care. They, do their grocery shopping together. They go to the same primary care doctor. They do a lot of volunteering together. They're really inseparable in a lot of ways, though they have a wider community around them.
A theme that comes up a lot is, you know, some people that you write about, they are the main relationship in each other's lives. But in many cases, there might be a romantic partner, significant other, whatever, and this long-term friendship. And it seems like almost a cliche, all right? Well, yes, you've got this close friend, but now you're getting married or committed in some way. So it's time to downgrade that friendship. It's not as big a deal anymore. How have people worked around that? How have people solved it so they can have both of those great relationships?
You know, lots of people run into problems with some partners, you know, romantic partners who don't feel comfortable with the friendship, are suspicious of it, or just want more space in their romantic partner's life. But for the ones where it does work, there's usually some understanding on the side of the romantic partner that there's a benefit to be had, that not relying on your romantic partner for everything actually can make the relationship stronger. And what I found in the cases of Andrew and in another story that I tell, both of them had issues previously with, you know, other partners getting them on board, but then they found somebody who themselves had really close friendships or a sense of chosen family, and they, you know, had experience for themselves how nourishing a friendship can be, and that they also did not want to cut off ties to their friends or downgrade their friends in order to be part of the romantic relationship. So it was sort of finding somebody who had some awareness of how deep the friendship can be and how there could be this sort of multiplier effect where the friendships enrich the romantic relationships and vice versa.
Talking to Raina Cohen, author of the new book, The Other Significant Others, Reimagining Life with Friendship at the Center. Back to your calls with Cortland in Madison. Cortland, hi. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I just had been listening to your program here and listened to a few of the situations. And I thought, you know, I've got a friend of mine that, shucks, we've been friends for 25 years. And we're friends before both of us were married. We're both heterosexual. We both love our wives, and we love our families. And yet I imagine if we would talk about it, you know, I think that we're probably, our friendship together is closer than my friendship to my wife and his friendship to his wife. I mean, like I say, we love our wives and we love our children, but it's just maybe a little bit different than what you've spoken about. But I can understand how these people have relationships that, you know, their friendships are closer than their romantic relationships.
Cortland, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Raina, I think a lot of guys, straight guys, wouldn't necessarily express this in that way, that this is a closer relationship in some ways even than their spouses. Your thoughts on Cortland's story?
Yeah, I mean, I love hearing it. And if you're looking at the stats on this, yes, it is much more rare for men to say that they feel more emotional intimacy with their male friends than they do with their female spouses. And the reverse is true for heterosexual women. And, you know, in terms of, if you've heard the term, the friendship recession, that there is a decline in the number of friends and close friends Americans have, men are really faring a lot worse on this measure. But, you know, that's not the case for every single person. What I found interesting and you know, what Courtland was saying is that there is a need to almost justify or really make clear, like, I love my wife, but I also love my friend, and that there's some way at this point that it's almost like an affront to say that you care for a friend or feel as closer to a friend than you do a spouse. But a lot of people feel that way, and it also, you know, you don't have to be best friends with your spouse. You can have a best friend, or you can have many close friends, and you know, again, these things can enrich each other and not detract.
Thanks for that call, Raina. Just in our last less than a minute, what would you say to someone who feels what you're talking about and doesn't know how to tell other people in their life, doesn't know how to put it into words?
You know, I think it helps to look at models that are out there, which could be the nonfiction models and like the ones that I'm describing, or looking out into pop culture at, you know, the protagonists in Scrubs, the women in Broad City, those TV shows, and say, you know, if you've seen that and you understand that, that's the kind of friendship that I have.
Raina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on and for the callers, too.
That's Raina Cohen, producer and editor for the NPR podcast Embedded. She talked to us today about her new book. It's called The Other Significant Others, Reimagining Life with Friendship at the Center. Hey, still time for you to share your story. If you have one that fits the theme, you can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network on Wisconsin Public Radio.